Know your reformers. Martin Luther was a German monk and professor who was plagued with doubt about his salvation. When he finally read the Bible for himself, he rediscovered the doctrine of justification by grace through faith. His bold witness for biblical truth was the spark that ignited the Protestant Reformation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Fine, whatever, Great Britain. Just go nuts. That's just fine. Welcome back to Wretched Radio.
Why are you so upset?
Thank you for interrupting me. Finally. I'm sorry. Great Britain, man, they're just, what they're up to these days. I'm just telling you that much.
So why are you so upset?
This is what happens when you don't make it to rehearsal.
I was late. I'm sorry.
So Great Britain, I'm telling you, what's going on? What's crapping in here?
Todd, why are you so upset?
My shoes are too tight. Therefore, I'm crabby because I'm dysregulated because they're really uncomfortable, and I have every reason to be dysregulated and crabby, and you can't tell me that I'm misbehaving because my shoes are too tight. And you say, well, that's really ridiculous. And I say, that's polyvagal theory. That's exactly what it is. Mom and Dad, I'm telling you, it is going to come home to roost. This secular idea that your externals are to blame for your internal response, you just wait until the kids get weaponized with the polyvagal theory language. And they come home and you want them to mow the lawn. Hey, Jimmy, are you ready for our next dramatic recreation?
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
All right. Can I be really sorry for something I haven't done yet? Because just the idea of this is making me kind of feel icky. On the inside.
What is
it? You're going to be my dad.
Oh.
Now we both feel icky. And I'm going to be your son.
Okay.
Yep. I'm coming home from school. Uh-huh. And you, dear dad, you want to talk to me about the state of my bedroom. Oh. Right? You ready to go?
Yeah.
Like we did in rehearsal.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right.
Hey, dad.
Hey, son. How are you? How was your day at school?
Well.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, about that, your bedroom. It's a mess. How did you...
Wait, let's do take two. Let's do that same thing.
Okay. Right,
ask me about my day. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, son. How was your day at school? Hey, I'm talking to you. Hey, kid. Okay.
How'd I do?
You did great. That's actually spot on.
Well, I don't know. On that one. Yeah. Yeah. How was my day? I'm dysregulated, but that's how it was.
So let's talk about your room. How did you walk out of the house with that disgusting room this morning?
Disgusting. Last night, I wanted to watch that show on Netflix. You wouldn't let me. And I feel oppressed. I feel in danger. You're not safe, Dad. You're just not safe.
And so that's why your room is disgusting?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense
to me. I blame anything on my behavior as long as we believe in polyvagal theory. You're the problem, Pop. You know why my room is messy, Dad? I'm going to tell you. Because of you. Because of you.
Well, let me go clean it up for you.
Furthermore, when I wanted that thing that I wanted for Christmas and you didn't get it for me. My friends got that, and I didn't get that because of you, and I don't feel safe. I'm telling you, it'll be a whole new dictionary, this therapeutic language that we keep creating to describe this feelings-driven society that we live in. When your kids learn the lingo and they come home, rot's a rock, Mom and Dad. Rot's a ruck because you're the problem, which it seems the schools these days are more than happy to sing that song, aren't they? The parents are the problem. It's certainly not them. Let's go to Great Britain, shall we? Because initially I did have a bit of a rub with an article that was written in The Federalist. I thought, a little hyperbolic. No, way exaggerated. No, super over the top. Because the headline intrigued me, but I thought, really? This is why you think that Britain, here's the headline, is turning its back on Western civilization. And in many ways, it is, isn't it? That Britain is, it's like, we hate our past. We want to become this new progressive society. We know that nobody's ever accomplished a good version of it, but they haven't tried it the way that we will. And they are indeed rejecting the, how's about the Anglican king saying prayers with the Roman Catholic Pope? Now, you might think that's right, wrong, or indifferent, but I do think that that's a demonstration that this is a new kind of England where it, we don't draw those lines anymore. We've erased those because we just know better now. And they're doing that constantly. And speaking of the Anglican Church, if I can practice some ADHD lack of self-discipline right now, did you see the N.T. Wright? I think he's got a new book, N.T. Wright. He's an Anglican who is, well, he's so smart. He's just, every time I hear him, I just realize how dumb I am for holding on to traditional understandings. I think his latest thing with his book, I think, he's discovered we've been such idiots for believing, for instance, that 2 Corinthians 5 is actually about justification. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. No, what I've discovered, I don't know what accent this is. What I've discovered is that it doesn't mean what those evangelicals have always thought that it means. It means, and then he has to go on like a 20-minute ramble to explain what it means. Oh, just, that's always a telltale sign, isn't it? When somebody just won't answer the question cleanly, that it's the article that I was reading, N.T. Wright. All right. Jimmy, are you ready for our next dramatic recreation?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Hey, thanks for being a guest on the show, Jimmy. Yeah. Do you believe in biblical inerrancy?
Absolutely.
All righty then, asked and answered. Now let's turn the tables. You're the host of the program, and I am N.T. Wright.
Okay. All right, N.T. Wright, do you believe in biblical inerrancy?
That's an interesting question because the word inerrant, I believe, really manifested itself during the Protestant Reformation in an effort to draw a line of distinction between the interpretive process of the Roman Catholic Church and Protestantism. So, yes, I do believe that there are different ways that we read the Bible.
But do you believe in biblical?
Yeah, exactly my point. Blah, 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 blah. On and on he went with his rambling history of the word inerrant. And then ultimately not really answering the question, which to me is a definitive answer. No, you don't. Because if you did, you wouldn't come up with these ridiculous new interpretations. We're gonna present that, I think, later this week. Because I think he's making the rounds again and he's coming up with his new understandings. And that rule, I'm telling you, it holds fast. If somebody says, I've rediscovered what it really meant originally, look out. You got yourself some fiction coming your way. In Great Britain, we're going to get to this article, Jimmy. Britain is turning its back on Western civilization by the Federalist. Okay, it got my attention. And I said, well, how is it doing it now? Because it's doing it in virtually every other way. According to this author from the Federalist, what is causing Britain to turn its back on Western civilization is cousin marriage. Cousin marriage. I don't know if you heard, but the NHS, their National Health Service, it's not law. But they're now saying, first cousin marriage, we think it's pretty groovy. And I thought, dude, really? You wrote a whole article telling me that's why Britain is turning its back on Western civilization because the National Health Service has now said that there are benefits of first cousin marriage despite the increased risk of birth defects. Oh, man. Apparently, we're not the only ones who are skeptical about our national health institutes. The NHS literally said, we extol the benefits of first cousin marriage despite the birth defects that you could have. You know, the birth defects that come with first cousin marriage. Nevertheless, they're stating that first cousin marriage is linked to stronger extended family support systems and economic advantages. Oh, okay. So why would this author say that this is a turning of the back on Western civilization, because it is Christianity that said ixnay on first cousin erige me, that that's a big no-no. And historically, that was one of the decisions that radically changed Western civilization. Now, the National Health Service said, yep, we get it. More sickle cell disease. Yep, more cystic fibrosis. But it's more important that we coddle our Pakistani immigrants because they're Muslims who, of course, believe in first cousin marriage. Again, this has not been made law, but it's a hat tip, and that usually signals we're going to start moving in that direction because, hey, if the National Health Service says that it's good, then it must be good because we got to trust the science. Despite the fact that the science says it causes way more birth defects and it's not a good thing. But more than that, is it true? Is it possible that the decision to reverse the decision to not have first cousin marriages, let me see if I can straighten out that sentence. For us to say today that the decision that the Western civilization made centuries ago to prohibit first cousin marriage is now good, is that really a sign of a crumbling Western civilization? Next on Wretched Radio.
You know that moment at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep, everything is quiet, and you're alone with the truth about who you really are versus who everyone thinks you are? Your wife trusts you, your kids look up to you, the guys at church think you've got it all together, but you know better. You know the secret battles, the deleted history, the promises you keep breaking to yourself and to God. Here's what took me way too long to figure out. You can't fix a spiritual problem with human solutions. Accountability software won't change your heart. White knuckling it through another week won't either. And Todd Friel is getting to the heart of this issue with his resource, Play the Man. It doesn't give you another list of rules. It shows you how Christ actually changes men from the inside out. How he replaces the wanting, not just the doing. The man your family deserves, that guy is possible, but not through your own strength. It's going to be through the strength of Christ working through you. Play the Man. It's available now as an ebook, an audiobook, and a video series only at fortisplus.org. Because real men know when they need real help. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something? Without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it. If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy, but they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Oh, you know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody, and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit fortisinstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the firstborn. Jesus was the firstborn from death, resurrected that we may have life, and he is the firstborn over all creation, the preeminent Son, through whom we are adopted as sons and daughters of God the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. Let me take you back in time for a history lesson on first cousin marriages. That's right, a history lesson on first cousin marriages. The Federalist done got my attention with a headline that said Britain is turning its back on Western civilization because the NHS recently said, you know, on second thought, it's probably good to have first cousin marriages. Yeah, we know that it increases birth defects, but there's an awful lot of people in our country, legally or otherwise, that like first cousin marriages. So we're scared. So we've changed our mind on it. And the Federalist is saying, wow, what a blunder. They wrote this in the Federalist. It's hard to imagine any other issue that so completely encapsulates what's gone wrong in Britain or illustrates how thoroughly the country's ruling elites have turned their back not only on their native population, but on Western civilization itself. That's big language. After all, the prohibition on cousin marriage was one of the early achievements of Christendom that enabled the rise of Western civilization in Europe. Okay, dude. Show me what you got. In the 6th and 7th centuries, amid the collapse of the Roman Empire in the West, the Catholic Church began pushing back on the practice of cousin marriage, consanguinity, among the pagan peoples of Europe, where it was common among Anglo-Saxons and other groups. Pope Gregory the Great banned cousin marriage outright after he became the Pope in 590. And in time, the Catholic Church's prohibition became the cultural norm across the entire continent. Constantine, we adopted these values from the church that simply became society-wide. You just didn't marry your first cousin anymore. The effect of this ban in time would be profound, writes the Federalist in his best-selling book from 2020, The Weirdest People in the World. The subtitle, How the West Became Psychologically Peculiar and Particularly Prosperous. The author of that book is Joseph Heinrich. He argues by making consanguinity taboo in Europe, the Catholic Church began the process of breaking down the insularity of the various tribes and peoples which had settled in the Roman Empire. In other words, the tight little family unit where the family married the family, it got shattered. They had to go looking elsewhere. In other words, they had to stop being so tribal. They had to start accepting people outside of their own little system and circles. And that, according to this historian, changed the West. By breaking down the insularity of the various tribes which had settled in the land, close-knit family clans caught in cycles of ruinous internecine warfare were forced to marry their sons and daughters to families outside their bloodlines. And that had an effect on enlarging the clans and creating broader networks of mutual trust that fostered peace among newly converted Christian peoples. Now, were there other factors? Yes, of course there were. Is this an oversimplification? Yeah, probably, but nevertheless, you can't overlook it. It simply broke up the West from being so tribal. It forced us to go looking beyond our own door. Well, if they can't marry the cousins, who are they going to marry? And we got to take care of the farm. Let's go play nice with the tribe next door. Let's go be nice to the people in that village so that we can get our sons and daughters married. And that was an advancement for Western civilization, from the article. Banning cousin marriage was arguably one of the foundations of Western civilization, imposed by Christendom on the pagan peoples of Europe for the sake of peace and social cohesion. Bye-bye to that. Courtesy of the National Health Service in Great Britain. Another sign that we are acquiescing. We're giving in. We're acquiescing to external forces and a different religion and a different set of values. In the meantime, let's go across the channel. Not the B reported on. It sounds kind of small because I wasn't familiar with it. It's a group called Enter, ENTR. It's a news outlet from France, Medias Monday, MONDE. It's aimed at a younger audience, but it was a really lengthy piece on trying to figure out why it is that so many French people are becoming evangelicals. Did you ever think? I mean, France has just been so a-religious for so many centuries. And this news outlet, it's not mainstream media. Nevertheless, it seems somewhat legitimate. It was a well-put-together piece. And they even did a decent job of describing what evangelical Christianity is. That it's about the Bible. It's about grace alone, faith alone. It was said in this news report. But this woman, I watched it. I can't play it for you because so much of it is in French. And wouldn't make any sense on radio, but she was just incredulous. A new church in France, a new evangelical church opens every 10 days. Well then, that's some movement going on in France. And now it's apparently newsworthy enough that they're asking, what are we going to do about these evangelicals because they're so evangelistic? In the meantime, across, let's see, it'd be right next door in Germany. You want to talk about turning your back on Western civilization? Well, here's one for you. Headline, German priest Lena Müller married four men. Not to four women. She married four men. Why? Because there was so much love between them. According to the Times, one of the largest branches of the German Protestant church has defended a pastor after she blessed a relationship between four men and called the ceremony a marriage in the eyes of God. Sorry, it's not. Have you not read male and female? It's one man, one woman. This was done at St. Paul the Apostle Church in Berlin. The pastrix said, the men had spoken English with one another and seemed radiantly happy together. Oh, well then it must be okay. You could see right away that there was so much love between them. Why should God have anything against there being four of them rather than two? Well, let's start with because he said so. Let's start with because that's what's natural. Let's start with that's what's best for children. That's his prescription. Those are his laws. One man, one woman, not four dudes. If everybody were a polycule, where it's four men here and four women there, that would be the last generation of polycules, wouldn't it? Because we wouldn't be making any of them their babies. And speaking of babies, yeah, that was my segue right there.
Pretty good.
Yeah, thank you very much. This is disgusting. IVF embryos turned into jewelry. This industry, by the way, there was another report. Yep, here it is. Number of babies killed annually during IVF is now more than those lost to abortion. Because you have to fertilize a ton of eggs to do the implantation. And most of those babies don't make it. Here's the statistics. 2.6% of all births in the U.S. are a result of IVF. That's 2023. However, millions of their siblings died during the process. Here's the numbers. 2 million embryos did not survive to be implanted. And another 1.8 million were either frozen, destroyed, donated to research, or released for embryo adoption. In other words, what is being touted as something that's wonderful for human flourishing is extinguishing way more lives than it is created. If you want to hear our whole take on that, we've got those shows archived at FortisInstitute.org. But now people recognizing, okay, It's more than a blob of tissue. They've decided to create a jewelry industry. It's called Blossom Keepsake, based in the United Kingdom. Offers couples a gentler way to honor what they've created. Huh. What they've created? It's a blob of tissue. I don't get it. By encasing the embryos of their children into rings, pendants, bracelets, and charms. It also states on the website, it can combine the embryo with other meaningful inclusions to tell the whole story. Choices include breast milk, ashes, hair, umbilical cord, dried flowers, and fabric. This is just utterly revolting, barbaric, and pagan that we are using human life for a knickknack so that our consciences can be somewhat assuaged by the obvious truth. A fertilized egg is a human being. Turning our back on Western civilization and a whole lot more. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.